Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Well, the calendar may say August 2021, but in reality, it's still November of 2020. Because the election results have still not been properly counted, my friends. I'm not claiming anything will get overturned. It won't, or at least I would be very surprised if it did. I am claiming it's imperative to find out just what the HE double hockey sticks went on so that it does not happen again. Now, one of the states trying to do something about this is Arizona. Some people in Arizona are trying to do something about it, I should say. But Maricopa County and Dominion are refusing to comply with subpoenas for routers, passwords, and other necessary items required to conduct an accurate, full forensic audit. I'm reading right now from the Gateway Pundit. I do, from time to time, like to read from some of the few news organizations still reporting the news accurately. It says in the Gateway Pundit, Jack Sellers responded to the subpoena after their defiance with an insulting letter. Arizona State Senator Wendy Rogers chimed in afterward, calling for solitary confinement for the treasonists. Yeah, like that's gonna happen. Okay, I guess you can tell that the little side comments are coming from me. Back to the news article. The Arizona State senators are ready to fight after China Jack Sellers. I like how they call him China Jack Sellers. After China Jack Sellers told them to prepare to defend their audit. I guess this news organization is editorializing a little bit, but they openly claim that they do that. They openly admit that they do that. So I don't have a problem with that. I do the same thing. Anyway, continuing with the Gateway Pundit, if I could shut up long enough, we might actually get through this. In order to obtain the materials required to finish the audit, they will need to enforce the subpoenas. State Senator Sonny Borelli is standing by to release the Kraken. That's a phrase that's been popular the last 6-7 months. State Senator Wendy Rogers is ready to activate the Election Integrity Unit and start busting doors down. Boy, a lot of hyperbole in this. I like it, though. Continuing, President Trump called these warriors to action by name at his rally in Phoenix last month, invoking them to fight for these routers, which hold key data about how and where election data was transferred. All right, that was from the Gateway Pundit. I suppose if I were to ask what these people who won't turn things over are trying to hide, I would be asking a question whose answer would be the understatement of the century. Now, to be fair, it's not only officials in Arizona who seem to have something to hide. I'm reading now from Just the News. The U.S. Department of Justice's recent guidance on the process of state election audits indicate that the federal agency is apparently deeply unsettled about the string of election audits and election reform efforts carried out by state Republicans since last November's presidential election. Okay, I guess your old pal Bob will decipher this quickly for you. It's just a fancy way of saying that the Department of Justice plans to interfere with these audits. They're talking about guidance. Now, before I go on, have I told you lately how sick and tired I am of the word guidance? We've seen how quickly guidance turns into fiat. That happened with all the COVID regulations. National guidance became state mandates. Or in this particular case, we're seeing how guidance is often just another word for interference into a true inquiry for justice. But I digress. Anyway, continuing. The guidance distributed last week and directed in part toward state legislatures instructs investigators on how states must comply with federal law when conducting election audits. It also addresses efforts by some state legislatures to repeal emergency COVID-19 voting rules that other states have in some cases sought to make permanent. You see, my friends, for the left, COVID is the gift that keeps on giving. It allows them to interfere with elections and do these horrible mail-in ballots. We saw what happened in 2020 with all of that. Continuing, both the audits and the election reform efforts have become political flashpoints in the months since the 2020 election, with many Democrats insisting that those measures are intended to either suppress the vote or overturn November's election election results, and Republicans countering that both efforts are meant to strengthen the U.S. voting system and address any underlying security issues. The document also claims that proposals to contact individuals face-to-face as part of physical canvassing efforts raises concerns regarding potential intimidation of voters. In neither case does the document cite any instances of real or even suspected violations of law, suggesting that the DOJ's objections to the investigations may have more to do with undermining the credibility of the numerous audits playing out in states across the country as with any theoretical infractions of federal law. The DOJ guidance further suggests that states may be subject to Department of Justice enforcement if they seek to restore voting rules and regulations that were in place prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. The department's enforcement policy does not consider a jurisdiction's re-adoption of prior voting laws or procedures to be presumptively lawful. Instead, the department will review a jurisdiction's changes in voting laws or procedures for compliance with all federal laws regarding elections as the facts and circumstance warrant. An unnamed department official made the implications of the guidance more explicit following its release by telling media that it did not intend to give election officials safe harbor to return to pre-pandemic voting practices if the DOJ determined those rules had a racially discriminatory impact. Right, you see, if COVID doesn't help, go to the race card. Well, let me read one more paragraph from this article. Last month, however, the U.S. Supreme Court rejected a similar legal premise in its ruling on a Voting Rights Act challenged by the Democratic National Committee to an Arizona ban on ballot harvesting. In that case, the DNC argued that the ban's adverse effects disparately impacted racial and ethnic minorities in the state. By a 6-3 majority, the court upheld the state's ban on the practice, arguing that it was not enacted with a racially discriminatory purpose. Wow, the Supreme Court doing something right for a change. Go figure. Anyway, that second article was from Just the News. My friends, how much evidence do you need? If 1,000+ sworn affidavits of people witnessing election fraud at polls, at post offices, in trucks, other places, if the unconstitutional changing of election laws prior to the election was not enough, if the incredible coincidence of multiple states all stopping the count right around the same time on election night with Trump handsomely ahead, only to return the next morning by an incredible coincidence, Joe Biden is now ahead. If a likelihood of a man winning this election campaigning from his basement with a brain on a battery jumpstart cable barely able to construe 3 coherent sentences seems like odds you would never take at a casino, if none of this convinces you of a stolen election, well, then just ask yourselves this simple question. Why is the audit being opposed? Why is the DOJ under the Democrats opposing it? Why are state officials opposing it? Because they're so confident in the honesty of the election that they're tired of reinforcing it. They don't want to reinforce the truth again. Is that the reason? And why are Democrat politicians starting to call it treasonous to not accept the election results of 2020 when they themselves constantly question the election results of 2016 openly, brazenly? They question the results the entire 4 years Trump was in office. How do they get away with this stuff? Well, we can look at the obvious, like their mainstream media cheering squad, but there's more to it than that. You see, the more outrageous the lie, the more outlandish the steal, the more in your face the theft, the more it sounds like a conspiracy theory to point it out. It seems like too outrageous of a lie for people to even attempt. It's almost a reverse psychology. After all, things like this only happen in espionage movies, right? That doesn't happen in real life. You claim the election was stolen and people say, that's outrageous. What an outrageous thing to say. Yes, it is outrageous. My friends, something can be outrageous and still be true. They are not mutually exclusive terms. History is filled with examples of outrageous people doing outrageous things. Oftentimes, the more outrageous, the easier they get away with it. When rumors were circulating about what the Nazis were doing in Auschwitz, who believed it? Nobody believed it. Let me tell you something. In no time at all, maybe a few years, maybe in less than a year, the truth is going to come out. Oh, it's already out. It's there for anyone who wants to see it. The trick is you have to want to see it. You have to be willing to look. What I mean is that it will be so public and so airtight that nobody will be able to deny it anymore. Those responsible for stealing the election at that time, what's going to happen? I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. Those responsible for stealing the election while they're denying it today will revel in it tomorrow. That's always the pattern with the left. What they call a lie today, they wear as a badge of honor as time goes on. Only a few years ago, any conservative who used the word socialist in relation to the policies of President Obama or other Democrats was accused of hate-mongering, paranoia, extremism, unfair insults. Now the party revels in that term. They brag about being socialists. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is the darling of the media. She's made socialism fashionable. And so, in a few years, they will not only admit that they fixed the election, they will boast that they fixed the election. They will pat themselves on the back for fixing the election. They'll be standing in line to get on the talk shows as celebrities with book deals because they stood up as heroes against Donald Trump. Sure, we fixed it. We cheated. We stopped a man like Donald Trump. Why not? The man was another Hitler. Would you have done anything to stop Hitler? Even cheat? Well, that's true. That's true. I would have done anything to stop Hitler if I had a chance, if I'd lived back then. Would you cheat to stop Hitler? I'd cheat to stop Hitler. Sure. You see, oftentimes logic follows a premise. The problem is that nobody ever questions the premise itself. Trump, Hitler, a man with a Jewish son-in-law, the most pro-Israel president we ever had. He's the anti-Semite Jew-hater Hitler. He's a Nazi, a president whose capitalism and individual liberty was something we all flourished under. What did Nazis stand for? National Socialist Party. Just who is it that today calls those on the right Nazis? Well, the left. And what does the left stand for? Abortion? Infanticide? Infanticide was among the first organized gas killings the Nazis did when they first came into power. And who is trying to shut down communication? And who is restraining free speech? Who is trying to pass bills that will seize your wealth and increase government control over your lives? Who wants curfews and lockdowns? Who wants to keep you out of restaurants if you don't show a certain card? Will the real Nazis please stand up? This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.